He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Let's see. David underscore Jovi, do you see Eric Dixon or Council the Fourth getting the last two-way spot? I think they'll probably fill it before they go into camp because you can kind of cycle through. You could cycle through the, you know, two-ways, and you can wave people, you can bring them back, wave people. And the Lakers have done that in the past. So I think they'll probably fill it. The only name that I've heard most connected to it has been Stewart to this point, but if that was going to be the move, they would have done it already. So yeah, we'll kind of see as we get closer to camp what they decide to do there. Dixon was hurt for all of summer. They did sign him to that Exhibit 10 deal, which gives him a little extra change if he winds up with the South Bay Lakers. So that's good. I like Dixon. Little slow for me, but we'll see how well he fits in training camp and eventually how well he fares in the G League. But yeah, as far as like the last two-way spot going into camp, I have thought it was going to be Stewart. It hasn't happened yet. So we'll see who they eventually wind up adding. Magnon was not on anybody's radar. Now he's signed. So, and hell, when they waived Jemison, that wasn't necessarily on anybody's radar. That was the rare, press release that beat the Shams notifications or all of the other reporters' notifications. So, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that spot. And smart teams have found uses for two-way contracts. Those spots matter. Next question here comes from at Dream Bigger. All right. I get this question a ton. Where do you get your info from? No names, but agents, front office people, players. I have to be very careful about this because the worst thing you can do as a journalist or a reporter or whatever is give up sourcing or even lead people to be able to guess who your source is. But seeing as I get the question a ton, seeing as people still, for whatever reason, doubt that I know stuff or whatever, I'll go ahead and answer it as best I can and be as transparent as I can. I have been doing this now. I got the notification the other day from Facebook that I signed my first contract back with. It was Rant Sports, who first hired me to write about sports for them. At one point, I wrote about the Lakers, the NBA at large, baseball, football. I think that was it. And maybe golf too. And I'll never, ever forget it because, they sit me down. I had a career. I was in PR. I didn't exactly love the gigs that I had. Actually, no, I'll take that back. I outright hated my final kind of big boy job that I had. still, I went from, having a salary, having benefits, all of that stuff to, I talked to Rant Sports and they made it appear like I was going to make decent money for them. They laid out how their pay structure worked. It was all based on the click. And I signed the contract with them, put in my 2 weeks notice with the gig that I had at the time. And then the first paycheck that I got from Rant Sports was for $23.86. And I opened up that check and I showed it to Jen and we both just jaws hit the floor. What the fuck are we going to do? She was in grad school at the time. So she wasn't making any real money. It was just kind of on me to pay rent and stuff. And I was like, I immediately went, we lived in Brea at the time, and right down the street from us was a golfsmith. And, you know, whatever job that I got to pay the bills, basically, I needed to work on commission so that I wouldn't have to spend a ton of hours in the store, and I could still focus on my dream, right? Like making my dream happen. And I got the gig at Goldsmith, and I was able to pay the bills, you know, not to the extent that I was before, but, you know, I was able to stay afloat. And that was 11 years ago. Since then, you know, I've launched one podcast with Locked On Lakers that annually got about, you know, a few million downloads a year. I then went to Vox and got my first full-time gig, helped build up a podcast that when I got there was averaging about 650, 700,000 downloads a month or a year, got that up to, you know, another few million downloads a year with that. And then when I got laid off by Vox, I was able to keep that RSS feed. And took a couple hits because of like the way that algorithms and RSS feeds kind of work when you leave various platforms. But we've built it up fairly steadily. My point being here is that like the Lakers understand the power of idiots like myself who analyze their team. Agents understand the power of idiots like myself who analyze their clients. Players understand the power of idiots like myself who analyze their games. And those of us who are fortunate enough to have any kind of staying power, the longer you do this, the more people reach out to you and just want to build out that relationship. And it's a two-way street, right? Like if I hear something about somebody's client and I'll reach out and say, hey, here's what I'm hearing about this. And, you know, eventually have that information reciprocated to hear, oh, this is what they're hearing there. I have friends who are scouts and executives and coaches and stuff like that all throughout the league. Because I played growing up and because of the way that I analyze the sport and I have those relationships that I have built with trips to Vegas every year and just having the DMs open and stuff like that. So yeah, it's an entire kind of network of people that, now look, I've given the example of Brooke Lopez wanting more money than the Lakers were getting ready to offer him. And as such, you know, his camp made it really clear to all of us that he was going to sign with the Lakers. And the point there wasn't to indicate that he was actually going to sign with the Lakers. It was to get other teams to kind of pony up a little bit. And eventually he got almost doubles, you know, what the Lakers were offering him from the Clippers. Had nothing to do with starting, had nothing to do with LeBron. It had everything to do with cashing out one last time at that stage of his career and any mission accomplished, right? And that's something that, you know, I reported that he was really high on the Lakers free agent board. I still believe that. I do think the Lakers liked him, but they only liked him to the extent that they could pay him at that given moment. And then once they heard that DeAndre Ayton was going to be available, I think they pivoted. And Ayton became somebody that they wanted to pay the amount that Lopez eventually got from the Clippers. And that's all information that you get, you know, through hours and hours and hours of texting and tweeting and DMing and phone calls and emails and meeting in Vegas for lunches or drinks or dinners or whatever. And yeah, that's, you know, that's kind of how it tends to go. But I can't obviously give up much more information than that, but I would hope that the explanation suffices at least for now. Let's just double check the comments here. Still not seeing any super ones, so I'll keep on going here. At Mockman 72 writes, still have work to do. In my opinion, center and guard point of attack defense is still not great. Rui off the bench to replace Braun is nice to have, but where do we go to greatly improve the roster now and for Luka's future? So yeah, I agree. Center, I actually feel pretty good about. I think I'm higher on Ayton than the vast majority of anybody talking about the Lakers right now. So I would say that they're good at starting center. I would like to see them improve their backup center. Unfortunately, that market is really dry right now. So, you know, you're talking about a potential trade. Maybe we'll see. I know there's been a lot of noise about Robert Williams. I think a lot of that is Portland kind of drumming up a market while Williams himself is kind of banged up already. They haven't liked the offers that they were getting, and they already bought out DeAndre Ayton. So they don't want to do that again after turning down offers last year for Williams that they probably shouldn't have turned down. Point of attack defense. I am 100% in agreement there. I was really hoping that the Lakers would be able to get Gary Payton II, but if he's just going to sign a minimum contract, I've heard that he's likely to sign that minimum contract with the Golden State Warriors. It'd be great if we were kind of surprised in that regard, but yeah, I think the Lakers are kind of hoping that Jared Vanderbilt might be able to provide some of that point of attack defense. I don't believe that Marcus Smart is going to provide that point of attack defense unless he loses a bunch of weight, which we've heard. You know, we've heard that he's gotten himself into better shape this summer than he's been the last couple of years. But yeah, of the two kind of concerns that Jason raises here, I would say that point of attack defense is quite a bit more important to me than the backup center spot. And then, you know, Rui off the bench to replace Braun is nice to have, but where do we go to greatly improve the roster now and for Luka's future? I've said this on the show already, still feel this way. If the Lakers can turn Rui into his equivalent at the three, then do whatever you need to do to get that done. Because, yeah, I just think Rui is more a luxury where the Lakers, you know, have an actual necessity at small forward. Now, look, again, maybe Rui is a small forward. LeBron trims down, and is able to play a little bit more small forward. That still gives you some overlap there with Luka, who would at best be a small forward as well. So, you know, maybe they just plan on switching a bunch. That would line up with how Redick sees things defensively. So, yeah, a lot going on there. But I would probably look for the Lakers to try to find a wing over the course of the season who, like you're saying, fits not just now, but moving forward for Luka's prime. Let's see. Omaris Hall asking, Anthony, is Luka's extension a lock? You know what? Let's get a little frisky. I'll say it is. I'll say he signs it. So I've already, you know, I have that tweet out there. I'll reiterate it again. He's in Chicago that Friday. He can get back to LA, sign his contract on Saturday. They could maybe even wait, you know, sit on the information Saturday throughout the day. And then while he's at his Jordan event, Rob walks out, Luka walks out. Hell, let's have even more fun while we're dreaming here. Maybe LeBron walks out too, and they all, well, no, LeBron wouldn't be at a Jordan brand thing. So no, scratch that. But, you know, maybe Rob walks out, Luka walks out, maybe Jeannie, I would imagine she would want to be involved with this too. And they announced that Luka has signed that 4-year extension. I won't go so far as to say that it's done, because that would be illegal and I don't want to get the Lakers in any kind of trouble. But there is, I haven't heard a single person who has any concern about Luka signing an extension of any kind. I would be over the moon if he signs a straight 4-year max extension. That'd be great. But even if he signs like a 2 for 2, then 1, or a 2+1, or a 3+1, 1 and 1 would make me a little nervous. I wouldn't love that. But whatever extension he signs, it's coming soon. I think he wants to get it done so that he has that security before he goes off and plays in Eurobasket this summer. And yeah, I think whether we actually hear about it on Saturday or they have everybody sit on that information till Sunday, it's coming over the weekend. All right, let's go back to the Twitter. Let's see. Gregory Brown with a bunch of numbers. I hear Lakers want Bron to fall off the books after the season. What do you think of Mark Stein saying basically this is Bron's last year with the Lakers? He does not see him retiring a Laker. Basically, no farewell tour with the Lakers. I look, again, if Mark's hearing that, it's legit. He's hearing it. It's legit that he's hearing it. I have not heard it in that same way. And the Lakers have some optimism that they can still find a way to get on the same page with LeBron and that he would retire with the Lakers. But if you look at his options and you look at other situations and stuff like that, and you compare it to what I think the Lakers are capable of this year, I believe that LeBron finishes his career with the Lakers. But you know what? I could be wrong. It happens all the time. Just ask my wife. Let's see. I think I answered that one already. At Shazaho? I don't know. Not a weird one, but do you see Smart as a Caruso type? AC wasn't a great shooter on the Lakers, but he was a great defender and a great glue guy, making the right plays, like good passing and just good instincts. Curious to see what you say. Well, Smart isn't the athlete that Caruso was at the time that you're talking about here. But as far as like making winning plays and, you know, playing unselfishly and stuff like that, yeah, I could see Smart being kind of a culture glue guy in that regard. And, you know, the biggest question with Smart is, can he stay healthy? Can he get, you know, get and stay in shape, and can he get and stay healthy? Because if he gets hurt, the Lakers are kind of sort of screwed, but hopefully he's able to get right now that he's finally in a winning situation again. And I have pretty high hopes for Smart this year. Let's see. King Chris 90. How much of a lock is Bronny's sixth man of the year? Well, I mean, if you want me to be as sarcastic as you are there, then total lock. But I would say he's probably going to enter the season as like a fourth or fifth guard, like a 13th man or something like that, who gets minutes because of injuries and just focuses again on developing. And, you know, I would probably say that, you know, he, and this is another thing with LeBron, is the Lakers have very closely overseen Bronny's development. LeBron would like to actually play regularly with Bronny on the court at the same time, not just have it be the kind of event that it was at the beginning of the season. I think he would actually like to see Bronny play some regular minutes. And I don't know that I necessarily see that for him this year in terms of rotation minutes, but I could totally see him being, you know, a sub for whenever guys get dinged up. And look, the Lakers have a real need at point of attack defense. And Bronny, when he was really, you know, when he had his motor going and he was really fully engaged there in Vegas, I liked what I saw in that regard. So he's a really good athlete. Doesn't obviously have the same kind of head for the game that his dad does, but I think he can come along fairly well in that regard. Needs to shoot a little bit better, but I think he's probably like a 12th or 13th man right now. But yeah, I feel better about Bronny's career than I did going into last season. I'm happy to be wrong about that.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go with, oh, we have a super comment, which means...
Fuck Washington!
Matthew writes, if LeBron wants $50 million to come back after next season, do you think they pay him? If they don't, does it damage their brand of taking care of stars? So this is where... all right, so I'll answer the first question first. If LeBron is good enough to like this year, right? He's coming off of a season where he was... second team all NBA. He got legit MVP consideration, right? I think he finished sixth. He was a top 10 player in the NBA this year. And as such, like to everybody who was saying, oh, he should have taken a pay cut. He should have done this. He should have done that. No, he is worth every penny from a basketball perspective coming off of the season that he had last year. So if he repeats that, or if he gets close to that, and he goes into the offseason and his expectation there is, I want $50 million a year, I think there would be actual negotiation. I think there would be a back and forth there. I don't see it as simply as his season ends and then they just say, all right, good luck, sir. Thanks for the time. I don't necessarily see that. I think there would be a back and forth before they arrive at that point. Or over the course of the season, like one thing to keep an eye on this year is which teams do work to open up cap space after this season. I'd have to take a look and see which teams that could apply to, which teams could do what to make that room after this year. And look, if some team that presents as, you know, clear an opportunity to win a championship as the Lakers could give him with Luka, with cap space, with assets, you know, first round draft capital to be able to turn into to win now help. If the Lakers are able to, you know, maybe they hesitate to do that again as they have with LeBron. But regardless, if some team out there presents a better opportunity and has cap space and stuff like that, if they open up cap space over the course of the year, he could be one potential reason why. But I don't think he's going to go somewhere and take some crazy pay cut, because he could have just done that with the Lakers here and given himself an opportunity to win a championship with the Lakers, with Bronny, and absolutely solidify, you know, getting a statue whenever he's done with the Lakers. So, and I think that matters to him. I truly believe it does. So now the second part of that question is really interesting. If they don't, you know, negotiate in good faith with LeBron, does it damage their brand of taking care of stars? That's what has been so interesting to me this summer, that the Lakers, for the first time ever, played hardball with LeBron. For the first time ever, you know, they basically were like, you got to tell us what kind of contract you want. And we're not positive we would give that specific contract to you. That is interesting and isn't how they've operated with other stars. specifically, you know, Rob Pelinka was on the benefiting side of the Lakers cutting his client a check before they even saw him return from his Achilles injury. So, yeah, that was weird to me. That was out of the norm for the Lakers. Does it impact their brand with future stars? Well, they have the one star. And so long as they treat Luka well, then I think that will kind of make up for it a little bit. It's just such a unique situation where the Lakers have their bona fide star, face of the franchise, could eventually become face of the NBA while he is with this franchise in Luka Doncic. And then they also have the previous face of the NBA in LeBron while he's still playing at a really high level. And it's not exactly a two timeline thing, because it's not like Luka is, you know, his success is decades out into the future. He's a win now guy now too, right? So it's a little weird the way that it was kind of framed. And I think that was a shot at Pelinka, because, you know, the Lakers have been so focused on the future while they've had LeBron, while they had Anthony Davis. And I think Clutch wanted to remind the Lakers and Lakers fans, hey, you haven't exactly optimized your opportunity here with LeBron while he has done everything in his power to optimize his opportunity with you. Let's not continue that movie, right? Let's change up. Let's hand somebody else the ox. I guess nobody really uses ox cords anymore, but let's get off that ride. Let's see what we can do to better optimize LeBron right now and Luka right now. And again, that's a message that I agree with and that fans should agree with, that Luka, I would imagine, agrees with. So like if the Lakers, because right now, right, they're positioning themselves for Giannis potentially. If the Lakers feel like they have an opportunity at getting Giannis and LeBron catches wind of that, where else is he going to get a better opportunity to win a championship than with Luka Doncic and with Giannis Antetokounmpo? Where's that coming from? So I don't know. I'm still of the belief that a lot of people are assigning or extending assumptions that are made right now to decisions that won't be made for months, if not a year from now. And, as it pertains to the brand of the Lakers, if they can take care of Luka, then any bumpiness that they've had here with LeBron, especially because I don't think Rob, you know, will be with the Lakers forever. I don't think Jeannie, like the people responsible for the friction with LeBron, may not be there anymore. And that matters too, right? We're literally seeing an ownership change. And that's something that changes how the Lakers are viewed as an organization. We got a couple more starred comments. The custodian Lexus King writes, if Vooch gets bought out, would you consider waiving stretching Maxi and just eat the $3.66 million for the next 3 years? Might allow us another player also. So this is what's funny. I have been texting Pete this the last couple of days. And now the hypothetical that I presented him was, would you buy out Maxi so that you don't have the dead, you know, the dead cap space on your, or the dead money on your books next year to the extent of 3.66 mil. And, you know, so waving and stretching it takes that decision out of Maxi's hand, and that's just a done deal at that point. I would only do it if Vooch is actually available, and I'd have to look at the numbers here, if it would also give the Lakers the opportunity to sign Amir Coffey too. If they can turn Maxi this year into Nikola Vucevic and Amir Coffey, then that's a no-brainer decision to me. And then you go into the season, you still have Gabe's expiring contract, and you still have Dalton, you still have Rui's expiring, you still have the 31 or 32 first round pick or whatever. that's how I would be open to it. I would first try to have a conversation with Maxi and ask him how open he would be to a buyout that, you know, maybe you buy him out and you leave yourself the gap so that whatever he signs his minimum contract, he just makes up for that by going and signing with another team or signing in Europe or something like that. You talk to him and you maybe talk to his camp and you see what his market would be and whether he feels he would be able to, supplement the money that he'd be giving back to the Lakers by signing elsewhere when he signs elsewhere, if he signs elsewhere. That's also another conversation, by the way, you have to have with Luka, because you've already let Dorian Finney-Smith walk. Would it be open to you also letting Maxi Kleber walk? Those are his two best friends in the organization, and you let both of them walk for nothing, basically. But if Maxi can get himself another opportunity, and if Luka's okay with it, and buying him out to an extent that allows you the room to sign Vucevic if he does become available, and Amir Coffey as he is currently available, then I would be cool with it. The thing too with Vooch is there was some back and forth. I saw Stein and Fisher push back a little bit on the aggregation of their reporting in saying that, you know, Vooch would not be bought out until closer to or after the deadline, which, okay, totally understand, makes a lot of sense. Harrison and I talked about it on yesterday's show, and I kind of wonder if agents would prefer, this is a conversation, by the way, that the Lakers can have all obviously totally legally with Bill Duffy, about how Vooch feels about it, about what Duffy would like to see happen here. Because look, if Vooch gets bought out, he's probably going to look first for a starting gig. And if he can't find that, he's going to look for the best opportunity that he can get for a bunch of minutes. I do think the Lakers present him that, but regardless, if it doesn't look like you can get Vooch, then there's no point in doing this right now, waving and stretching Kleber right now, or even having that conversation with Kleber, because Kleber, I still think, is more valuable as an expiring contract, especially as you get closer to the deadline, than he would be as dead salary space on your books next year. So, I think it's something that they should consider, depending on how, you know, where the winds blow with Vucevic. Like I said, I've been texting with Pete about this the last couple of days anyway. It's something I've already been thinking about. It also reminded me of going into the offseason, I was bugging Pete and Darius about, hey, what do you think about letting Dorian expire and opening up your full non-taxpayer mid-level exception? Now, the point then was to try to go out and get Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who obviously signed for a little bit more. But that was something I was like, what do you think about this? And turns out that's how it actually played out. So yeah, it's a funny little thing that all of us kind of arrive at some of these kind of questions or analyses, you know, roughly the same time. Let's see. Brandon Omang writes, Dalton, Rui, and a first round pick for DeAndre Hunter. Only 1 year older than Rui, so fits the Luka timeline, better fit with the starters, can defend, and is on a good contract. The problem with Hunter is that he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and that dates back to his time in Atlanta. It would be funny to see a bit of a homecoming there for Hunter, seeing as the Lakers drafted him originally. But if he can, you know, I like where you're going here. The Hawks were a lot better with him on the court than without him. I would say the trade, sending Caris LeVert and stuff to Atlanta to get Hunter, I don't think worked out to the extent that Cleveland was kind of hoping for. So I would maybe look into that a little bit more. But I see where you're going there. I kind of like it. If he could find a way to stay healthy, then that'd be great. And look, it's like, you know, we've been kind of I don't know if you send Rui, I don't know that I would send a first rounder to for DeAndre Hunter. He has more money on his books for longer than Rui does. So I would, like, I'd even wonder if Cleveland would send like a second rounder back to the Lakers in this case, seeing as you're also getting Dalton. But yeah, I see where you're going there. I've always liked Hunter's game. It's just a matter of how frequently we get to watch that game and how I would like to see a little bit more of it. All right. That, I believe, yep, that is going to do it. I answered as many of the questions from Twitter as I possibly could. I answered a ton of your guys' questions, free and otherwise, on here. The iTunes mailbag is cleared out. So we have a blank slate on all of our mailbags. So hit me in the iTunes mailbag. Hit me with 5-star review questions there. Those get answered automatically. And yeah, it's Monday. Sunday is going to be kind of tough because I'm going to be back home. I'm going to be at my parents' house on a vacation. I'm not sure if I'll be able to record a mailbag on Sunday, but we'll see. Look, at the very least, I'm already anticipating having to go live whenever Luka signs his extension. So that will probably be Saturday at some point, either Saturday evening or hopefully he just makes that decision Saturday morning as soon as he possibly can. And then we can just kind of go about the rest of our weekends and my vacation, but we'll kind of see. But yeah, until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow.